Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Asked us to come. We come broken. We come tired. But we are here. 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 Help us, oh God. Help our infirmities. Help us. In the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 14. Now, the first service, we were speaking on the marks or the signs of a spiritual man. So, I didn't finish that, but please get the message and listen again. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Next verse. But straight away, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Please let me preach to your neighbor. Be of good cheer. It is I. Said the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you are not alone. Next verse. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee, unto the waters. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he began to walk on the water to go to Jesus, verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried, Lord, save me. This message is titled, Lord, save me. I don't know if you've ever fallen before. But many times when you fall, you don't even know how much damage you've done until you go see a doctor. One of my brothers is over 40, or I think he's 50 now. He was playing ball last week or last 2 weeks, and he fell down, my brother, and broke his arm. They had to put a cast, and we were at the hospital then with my son. My son was on admission. You know, some of these messages, they are not for want of mercy. They are my experiences. Have you ever prayed and you knew it wasn't working? Huh? Have you ever prayed and you knew that prayer was not working? This is the only prayer left. Lord, save me. Come and declare, Lord, save me. You use faith, use all the corner, speak in tongues. Even prophesy to yourself that, my son, I will help you. You know, in those days, as young believers, we were taught to prophesy that way. I don't know if you have ever done it. You prayed and you prophesied to yourself. Who knows what I'm talking about, please? I need to be sure I'm not mad, because maybe it's something this generation does not know. I don't know. But in those days, you pray and then you prophesy. For thus hear the Lord, for you shall not stumble. Then you write it down. You even write, you document it. And write the day God gave you the prophecy through you. Who knows what I'm talking about? You prophesy to yourself. And you're actually the first prophet of your life. But there are certain situations you go through. Many times at the instance of the Lord. And you find that you are failing. The ground can't hold you again. It's as if you want to, the ground should open up and you just go straight inside. And so that your shame can be covered. While we were at the hospital with my son, we were there for 4 days. My wife stayed at the hospital throughout. And me, I was at home, but you can't sleep. You understand? My condition, I don't even know, maybe it was worse than the people who were at the hospital because I can't see my son and I don't know. Anyway, as I said, he gave me one blow. I went to bed with that pain. I said, thank God you are fine now. At least you can give me blow. We thank God. God is still answering prayers. But me, I know that now last week, even this mouth, you could not open it. But it is what it is. Very soon now, he will come and say, this guy wants to marry. Nobody can change my mind. I know what I'm doing. I've thought about it. I said, yes, sir. But before that time, I will flog you. Let me collect my quota of flogging from you. So that when you are old, if you like, go and bring a girl from Swahili or something, I will join you. But I will flog you. I will do my own beat first so that madness can leave you. Flogging is part of life. And it's what the Americans don't know, the British. So they may not like this message, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it's okay. But we will come and preach the gospel to you eventually. But you know, in between that whole experience at the hospital, I prayed. And I felt my prayer was not leaving my where I was. And I don't like that feeling. There's a level, a sense in which you pray. Power! The power just went now. But when I did it for my son, the power didn't move. I didn't even see it. Your emotional stability is very important if you want to conduct spiritual power. If your emotions are not stable, it's better to call your friend who is more balanced. Come and help me pray. It's not because you are not, you may even be more anointed than that person, but at that moment you are scattered. We were dealing with so much in the family, and I was in the hospital. Somebody was calling me, Pastor, you need to pray now. You need to pray now. Recover, Zakata, power. When they finish, I'll go and check. I see the hot one, but that one is giving testimony there. It's the hard life of a pastor, the one you will never know, the one that except you are close to the pastor. You may not see those moments when he himself is afraid. So that kind of song we are singing, it's important to me. The way me I worship God, my emotions are involved. Just tell me to come, I'll come. But if he doesn't say come, don't try it. In this particular story, is you could liken it to a season of contradiction where Jesus would say to them, get on the water. Who told them to get into that boat? It was Jesus. Then you get into the boat and you are seeing apparitions of spirit. You of all people should know what is God and what is not. But even a Peter or a John saw Jesus and they said it was a ghost. In other words, an evil spirit. Where you are faced with situations in your life, people, oh, man of God, we thank God for you. Oh, man of God, we thank God for you. Oh, sister, we thank God for you. But every time people appreciate you, all you are seeing are those areas of your life that between you and your God and those who know you God has not said anything. Those things that represent shame. I don't know if I'm speaking to real people here this morning. And we all have them. That part of us we don't want people to know. Our struggles. You know, it's hard for me. But I know I'm not a patient person. I know. The little patience I got is not my work. It's because of this pastoral work. They just gave me that. Sir, you won't go and destroy yourself. Take this one cup. Drink. See, this one is for the work. I'm not very patient like that. Especially with people who are not smart. But do you know that people who are hostile most times have struggled in that area before? They say many times you also struggled. By the time you overcame that struggle, you were not patient with those who later were found to have that struggle. So you are like, if you can't leave this place, if you can't. Yeah. But somewhere in your mind, you remember that used to be you. But that alone will not impart to you spirit of patience. If God wants to give you patience, He will pass you through trials. He doesn't do it with anointing. As a young boy, there was a time I was in another level. And I was praying. Then the Lord said, I've given you the anointing for discipleship. There's nothing like that. But I thought I heard God. And I came to the church this Sunday and I said, today, the title of this message, the anointing for discipleship. Powerful message. But it was not God. It was the way my spirit could process. Maybe what I should have heard is, you have received the grace to be a servant and to learn. That would have sounded more like it. But what I heard, you see, the anointing. So it's accurate, but it's not the way it is. You understand? It takes a mature person to now say, okay, what you really heard was not anointing for discipleship. It's like God has given you the grace to begin to learn and become a disciple eventually. So you will hear according to your level. Are you with me? Are you still here? So while we were at the hospital, we prayed, I prayed, and I knew my wife was praying all through. She's a prayer warrior. There are some areas she cannot compete with me. But there are some areas I know she's good. She prays. And she's patient. Me, I pray, but I'm still working on my patience. So if an impatient man is praying, he needs grace. Because the natural tendency for him is not to want to wait for long. Hey, if an impatient man is praying, God should answer now. Because he, my son, what is difficult with down? We both understand English. Well, Father, he, my son, in Jesus' name. What is there? You understand? The impatient man doesn't understand. Takla, brusha, daskele, koraba. Because somewhere in his mind, the way he prays for others is the way he should pray for his son. But it doesn't work. Because your emotions are already binded to that situation. The first level of prayer is to walk away from your emotions. First. That one may take you 2 hours. Or 3 days. So that you can think well and know the right prayer point. I'm telling you why some of you prayed for your brother, your sister, your child, and it seemed like God was far away. The more you prayed, He was going far. I'm trying to tell you that the first principle there is to deal with your emotional state. So when you pray in the spirit and walk away from that. Then you see the matter as a spiritual man. Look at it, not that my child. Look at it as a spiritual man. Then you will see the spiritual solution. Then you convert it from... is it from... What do you convert from? Is it kilogram to... What do... From potential to kinetic. Or electrical self. Whatever. I'm not educated. I don't know. That's why God called me. I didn't call you. Call you, you went to school. Me, I don't. I didn't go to school. It's now we are begging God that I should call you. This God there. He will look at a man that has retired, say, "You, I want to use you." Meanwhile, people on the mountain, "Father, father, father," I say, "You go and do, go and be carrying his Bible." He says, "I don't know." So we prayed. But in prayer, one of the lessons you learn in prayer is that it is not the final outcome which you expect to be in your favor that is the most important thing, but that at the end of that turmoil, you are able to lift your hands and say, "Glory to God." You didn't understand what I said, or you heard me. What I'm saying is that many times the outcome may not be as you want. Are you here? Many times the outcome may not be as you want, but at the end of that turmoil and trouble, when you stand and you look back at that situation, you will lift your hands and say, "To God be all the glory." That outcome is what God wants to see, because that's what makes you stable. That's what makes God able to say, "Okay, we can trust her now. We can begin to trust him now, because he has gone through certain things and his feet is becoming solid." Are you still here? So in this particular case, Jesus was on the waters, and I think that alone should make you scared. That alone should make you scared. That the man who preached and fed people is walking on water. Even now, if it happens here, many of you will run. Even though you read it. But if Jesus walks in now and there's water under his feet, before you say, "Pastor, is it just now?" You first run through the other side. Then when you hear the pastor say, "Come back, oh, everybody come back," you say, "Okay, it's like everything's okay." It's not a normal sight. But that tells you something. The willingness of God to go to any length to come for you, even if he has to walk on water. That should put a level of trust in you. Not the day of the trial, but before the day of the trial. That if he did it for Peter, God can do it again. He can ride over your situations like a cloud and come to you, because you are important. Tell your neighbor you are important. An average African doesn't believe it though. I was talking to my brother. I was actually expecting them in church today. I don't know. Nishola's husband. I don't know. Maybe they will still come. Though I met them. They are in the country. Well, they told me some things about where they live. And I realized that, Adams, maybe we need to send you to another country. Maybe to Ghana. To go and start a work. Because you see some places and you think they are alright. They are possessed. They are not okay there. When somebody decides a church, before he comes to your church, do you believe in burial ceremonies? Do you believe in... I didn't know they had a culture for funeral. Very strong one, more than what we have here. The way we celebrate marriages and make noise is the way they celebrate funeral, even if it's a one-day-old baby. I didn't know. And that decision alone can make them know if they want to come to your church. Nobody has died though. They just want to know, what is your policy on funeral? If you go to Tema, all those areas. You understand? But people, even Obama said that country is developed. He doesn't know this one. A one-day-old baby dies. You just... Something that is painful, just bury the baby and let it. They will block the road, do everything. And if the church does not get involved, they will pull out. They won't go to that church again. The church even contributes offering for the 8-day-old baby that died. They contribute money to help the family with the celebration. And people come out and give and dance and do... Then when you tell them, "This is not the will of the Lord," they say, "No, it's because it's a Nigerian pastor. All those Nigerian churches, they don't believe in all these things. This is Ghana. We don't go against our culture here." A pastor held, let me have your Bible, sir. A pastor stood in front of camera, a big prophet in Ghana, said, this is the Bible, there's no power in it. He said, many pastors know, they will not tell you. But I'm telling you, as a prophet of God, there's no power here. So when you are faced with situations, where are the people that should be giving you hope? I'll tell you, there's no power. That to get that power, you have to go another route. Are you still here? Was it not the same Peter that Jesus sent two by two? And they were casting out devils, healing the sick. And they came back, they were happy. But now Peter is having a test of his own faith. A test of his own life. His faith was being questioned, that he had to say, if it is you, tell me to come. There's a way he beckons to me. There's a way God beckons to you. If he talks to you like that, you know. When Jesus rose up from the dead, most people didn't recognize him. It was the voice. The voice didn't change. Say Mary. Say Rabboni. There's a way they talk. It synchronizes. It's like when you're on is it F sharp or something? Yeah, it will just sharp like that and sharp away, you know. Peter came on the water. Do you know Peter actually started walking? He did the same thing his master did. Wow. Ah, they go here and there Sunday when I enter church. How to walk on water. Part one. There's one meeting in those days of video cassette. How to raise the dead. At the end of the day, the man finished the message. Nothing about how to raise the dead. I said, okay, maybe it's the next conference. People came. How to raise the dead. The guy just preached something else. All these Americans. Corruption is not only in Nigeria. You don't need to see. Peter began to walk on water. It seemed he was matured enough. It seemed that he had everything together. You gave a testimony last week or last month in church, but all of a sudden you are faced with, you know, after that testimony, promotions, things happen. Now you are noticing some things are beginning to happen. No, that's a stepping stone. God is about to train you. But if you bind it, you remain a child. Now, it's not palatable, because if your child is sick and you are in the hospital for 3 days and the child is still not responding, you become concerned. It seems every time I say, power, you can't break the power. Temperature will go up again. The anointing in me is fire. Is it water? It's water we need. Power, water. It's still rising. Who do I call? We called our pastor. Pastor Ayo. When he picked the call, hello. Pastor is tired. Pastor, we changed the prayer or the conversation from. We just wanted you to know we are at the hospital. But pastor, are you alright? Because pastor, when I get to Lagos, I'm coming to see you. Pastor, where are you? I'm somewhere. I just want to lie down. I say, pastor, it's where? Rest. End the call. This one cannot help. I used to tell you, the day David will face Goliath, he will do it alone. His pastor's number will not ring. Don't go through. Your pastor is always there for you. That day, he climbed mountain, no network. If anybody had told Peter that day that walking on water was not a proof of maturity, he would have fought them. He said, have you walked on water before? He said, no, so keep quiet. Okay, no problem. Somebody said, in those days when we were at Christ Service, see, why does your pastor always blow air on people? He say, can't you just pray for them? I say, okay, you. Shebi, you see what happens when he blows air? People fall. Okay, you. Blow your own air, let's see. If they not tear you, slap you, pour spit on somebody's face. I said, before you do, you know, it made perfect sense that for only Peter, I'm among the 12, to be able to. And I'm sure what he walked was not a short distance, so. Handelibaka. This is a new level. Karabala desire. I see the angels. Oh Rabakatala. And you even came and preached about it on Sunday. How God elevated you spiritually. And you began to see visions. You are like TV screen. You are seeing things. God is merciful. God has promoted you. You equated spiritual experiences to maturity. You didn't know that even though you are walking out, you can still beat your wife. You didn't know. You believe that that one has written off. No, character is separate from anointing. You may be a man of God, anointed. You are even born on the altar. They named you on the altar 7 days. You are named, your name was altar. They named you altar. Then you went to the school that your church founded, primary, secondary, and even university. If you are a wife beater, you are already a wife beater. It's in your blood. We need to teach you some other things to remove that hand, because fighters don't fight their mate, they fight weak people. You understand? Fighters, they look for weak people. So nobody could have told Peter that he was not matured until one day. One day. As he was walking on the water, the Bible says he saw the wind. Who has ever seen wind? Give me that verse where he saw the wind. Posteriorly. Who is on this? Verse 30. But when he saw the wind posterior, he became afraid. So he didn't see the wind per se. When he saw the effect, the impact of what the wind could cause, could create. And that this one is not a matter of your anointing. It will kill you. This one did not come to remove your cap. It came to kill you. I don't know if you faced that kind of attack before. And you just know this thing came for my life. It came for the life of somebody in my family. And you were having dreams. You were always having dreams. Like somebody died. Like an accident. And you saw the wind posteriorly. You became afraid. If you had the dream once, say maybe by chance. You had it a second time. You had it a third time. Then your wife called you that she had it. Then your brother called and says, oh well, I had a dream. Maybe you are, this your faith that you are doing braggadocio. Maybe the enemy is already at your door. You better humble yourself. You become afraid. Become cautious. The Bible says when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And the moment he became afraid, what happened? He started to sink. We deal with those situations where our faith will be tested. Where it will look like your testimony is about to become a shame. We will all be faced with those moments where we got to this point by the word of the Lord, but now we don't even know per se what God is saying. We'll be tested. The things you've shared testimonies about, the manifestations and the operations of the Spirit, all of a sudden your resolve and your confession is weak. Because now you are faced with something that seems not to have a regard for your previous experiences. So when he saw the wind, he became afraid and he began to sink. The same platform that elevated him was now ready to sink him. The same office where he got that job and the same everybody loved him. All of a sudden, like, you know, what's he doing here? No, he should not be here. He's not even qualified. He's not an accountant. Bam! He began to sink. Somebody said to me many years ago, she said, I didn't plan to become pregnant. We actually did not outrightly go all the way, but something must have happened. And I'm pregnant. You might be so bold and confident, but all of a sudden, there might be a crack in your armor. And then you can't hold again. And one thing we have in our among us is that we always attribute failure to sin. If somebody's faith fails him, we are supposed to go there and support that faith. But we say, he has sinned. Yes, it may be sin, but it may not also be sin. The first thing is to save that person. Then we can be arguing about sin later. The church does not have a healthy position on the matter of sin and restoration. And that's why many people will say, when I left the church, I went to the world and they accepted me. Where is Loretta? Please call her. You know, when Loretta first came to this church, some of you don't know that not all our members are Nigerians. Loretta is just Nigerian by... I say you are Nigerian by origin, but by DNA, you are British. It's not prophecy. Sit down. I wanted to talk about you, so I don't want you to hear it from anybody. When Laura came to this church, there was a way she looked. There's a way she looked. In fact, in those days, if I wanted to preach, I don't look at her side. That was like 5-6 years ago. Anytime she's only talking through her nose. So I have to listen very hard. Very eclectic. Sometimes, maybe because we have all been here for too long, we don't know that people are changing. We don't know. We are not observant. During the anniversary on this month, a lady came into the church and the lady was not properly dressed. Loretta now accosted the lady and said, you cannot sit here. Try to put her. The lady was offended. So the lady reported Loretta to another pastor. But because the pastor also knew Loretta from before, he said, "Who did you say told you you are not properly dressed?" He said, "That lady." He said, "Loretta, Loretta, God bless you. Loretta, God bless you." You know, like, the person now called me, "Pastor, thank you. Thank you. Loretta told somebody that the person is not properly dressed." This word of God can change anybody. He now told that lady, "If I were you, you will listen to Loretta's advice. If I were you." But you know, it's an advice. You may not take it. God expects us to be able to celebrate where we are all coming from. Loretta, I said that to say God bless you. You are not where you are, but you are not where you used to be. We must have a healthy way of celebrating ourselves, especially when we are making progress. If somebody came in broke, now he has started a small business and he's doing well, we should celebrate it. Don't just take your face to the outside and see if it's not your business. But when they carry you in the car, you sit down. And it was that day I knew that Loretta's conversation with that lady was the make or mad decision as far as that lady's progress. I didn't say it. If Loretta wanted to live a frivolous life, which she cannot even claim she has not, and all of us have been, but just the only point that we don't know your own story. Even though I don't think she was as bad as I was anyway, but I mean, we have all had a past. And some of our failures came as Christians. You've forgotten the kind of prayer you are praying there. "Lord, have mercy on me. I will not do it again. Lord, have mercy on me." You've forgotten. Now you're a big man of God. You're a big woman of God. You can't extend mercy to people again. "Hey, you are so special. You are so special." People suspend like... In liberal part, know something about suspension. I don't know if you are with me. Then I realized that Loretta's correction to that lady might be God's final warning to her. So I told that pastor, "Go and warn that lady. She doesn't know Loretta from anywhere. But the finger pointing at her is very strong. Loretta might not have even known why she corrected that lady. It's possible. She was just trying to do the right thing. But Loretta now needs to look back at her. It's like I'm even changing. So I celebrate you, Loretta. The Lord bless you. And it's not just Loretta. I've got calls on several people, including you. Somebody called me about you. Tone. I saw Tone somewhere like, eh? Tone has changed, oh. I say it's the holiness we appreciate. Somebody gave me a good report about it, so please keep it up. You will know, these are not yesterday conversations, but it's talk that brings talk. That's why, but I need to let you know that just the way people called me to say, I saw Tone somewhere. She may not be perfect yet, but somebody observed progress. But you, because we are always together, sometimes it's hard to even notice that she's improving. She's improving, she's improving. Ah, come on now. You just close your eyes and be praying. Open it. Look around. Look around. People are growing. People are getting better. Let's celebrate that. Not everything. Stop. Look around. People are developing. There are people. Where is Kemi? When you came to this church, you are still a student. But you're a big girl now. The amount you earned, you finished NYC a year and a half or two. How many years now? You finished NYC 2019. Or you went in 2019? 2020. How many jobs do you do now? Three. Now, I know your salary. But even after 8 years of banking, I wasn't earning that amount. After 8 years of working in the bank, I wasn't earning the money you were earning within your first 1 year. That's progress. But I remember the day she came, our first conversation downstairs with Isaac. I remember it. She just came like a first timer. What do you want to do? I have interest in media. One thing. I would like to. I said, go and join the technical team. That was all I said to her. She designs all our flowers in church. She leant on me. Sometimes we'll fight. I'll call it. What is this? What kind of flower is this? Is this a strike? She'll go and correct. She won't face me. It's Lillian that will be facing me. But she got better. To the point that three employers didn't mind her working separately. Do you understand what I'm saying? So let's celebrate those progresses. Do you understand? And she's still in the faith. There are some of you here that came to me and said, Pastor, I'm calling off that relationship because it's not godly. Then I look at the person talking. Then it occurred to me that I was still looking at you the way I knew you 10 years ago. That actually this lady is changing, you know. Somebody I led somewhere to Christ. She's a Catholic. Led her to Christ. But because she's Catholic, I did not want to look like I'm condemning. So I told her to come with her Catholic Bible. If I read anything, I'll say read it in your own. I preached in the old service. She didn't give her life to Christ. It was when we now sat down like this after service. And I hold your Catholic Bible. I read my King James. Oh, yeah, read Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Oh, yeah, read it in your own. In case it's another, it's easier for her to believe that one than to believe my King James. So let's use your own to preach. And she gave her life to Christ. We came for prayer meetings in those days on our Saturday prayer meeting there. And I just noticed she faced the wall that we used to have these pillars. She faced the pillars and I noticed she was vibrating. Then I got close to her. Yeah, she's Catholic. She was and I listened. I did as if I was praying. I now came. I stood by herself, just started speaking to her. I love Jesus. He knows how to catch people. The girl started blasting in tongues. Oh, so sweet. That was it. No turning back since then. Then one then she came and said, Pastor, the Lord told me this relationship, the Holy Spirit. She said, the Holy Spirit, I should leave this relationship. I said, I hope if you need the no automatic husband, no husbands are scarce. So she said, no, I have to obey the Holy Spirit. And she left. We need to celebrate those changes. Because if we don't, when our Peters begin to sink, when our Peters step on the water, and their faith cannot hold them, we will not know how to help them. The other disciples stayed back in the boat because they didn't know what it meant to grow. They never tried and failed. They never made mistakes. They were always trying to be in Jesus' good books. They didn't know what it meant to say, God told me, and the thing didn't happen. They are just watching the boy, he was sinking. Nobody knows how to help him. Meanwhile, the Peter you are talking about is a master swimmer. Because he cannot be a fisherman if you don't know how to swim. But this one now, his faith failed him. When a man's formula in physics, a physics professor, his formula begins to fail him and he becomes confused, then you know there's problem. So how do you get his formula? I say, there's problem. Oh. Because if you join the wrong wire, it's bomb. Bam. Is it negative or positive? Say, hold on. We should hold on. Sir, we are depending on you. Say, just cut the red wire. Say, no, you know some bombs is blue. Blue wire. Hello. The man say, no, the wire, we ain't go cut. So, you will see the women in the house who, you know, it's just like Adam knows about wires, an engineer. Only for Adam to be telling us that this thing he doesn't know. See, even with my anointing, you don't know. You don't know. You mean you are like me in this matter? You don't know. Wow. You see the women, they won't pray, they will start crying. Because now, death is sure. If Adam says he doesn't know, or like this, my brother that manufactures cars or that fixes cars. He now says that brake that failed. Like, what are we going to do? Say he doesn't know. You don't know. The reality of that statement we said to you are like, you don't know. Or your wife will ask you, honey, baby, what do we do? You say you don't know. You are a prophet. You hear God for everybody, but you can't even see what is going on. Under your own roof. You don't know what is going on. What shall we do? Say, I don't know. I've been praying. God didn't say anything. It was exactly what happened to Peter. He saw something. He made a mistake. He looked at what he should not have looked at. He got captivated by something around him. He should have focused on the word. He should have focused on the last instruction. He should have focused on his assignment. But he saw something else. Something beside the assignment given to him. And he got distracted. And fear was released. And that's what happens every time you begin to look at what God has not asked you to look at. A spirit is released. Go and talk to many people. Before they started misbehaving, go and tell them to give you a list of the songs they were listening to. I'm telling you. I won't tell you don't listen to secular music. I'll say, go and check everybody who got into trouble along those lines. Go and check the song they were listening to. Or go and check the films they were watching. A lady that wanted to destroy my life, then that tall girl, what was that? A berry. I should have been married to a Port Harcourt girl now. I escaped. It's just messy because me, I've even accepted. It was NYC. Because all couples are not the same. Some are more equal than others. In our own, it was, I bought one small TV during NYC. You know those TV that you have to be turning the channel? So I just put it on there. You turn it even till you get you could not get AV direct. So you will tune till you get where the DVD is playing from or the video. So that's what I had in my room. And I now put, there's this woman, one Tabino, one of her old, where she will wear white lights and be singing as if she's entering the spirit realm. And I will stay in my room, be watching one Tabino, and I'll be crying. I'll be crying. Oh, the glory of God is too much. I'll be crying, crying, crying. Until I went to a burial room. And that's what other people are doing with television. That, not my own kind of TV. That's remote. Now you wind it. You say, then you return it. So you get the right. She didn't tell me, oh, come, let's fornicate. She just put a film. All those high school films. American high school films. If you know it, you know. If you don't know it, forget about it. But you those high school films, people are just falling in love. They are looking for trouble up and down. And I knew that thing I've been looking for is today I will find it. A mercy of came, gave me one thing to eat like that. I've never eaten that thing. Poverty is not good though. The thing was like a conflict, but it's not conflict. They imported it from the show that our folks bring it from the US or UK or something. Brought it in, so I should eat. When I ate the thing, I finished it. I've never eaten it. I have to be honest with you. I've never eaten it. You know, I won't come here and pretend that I have never eaten it. It was very sweet. Those things were already weakening my spirit. I was eating it, you know, put milk. And I was watching high school film. People are, there was even a bit of music and dancing. You know, those hip hop dancing in the film. Young guys and young girls, where they are on a live theater or stage, where they are, you know, doing their thing. My spirit was weakening on a plate of food. Then she went, got up and went into the bedroom and then came out. When she came out, I said, this atmosphere has changed. And I heard the voice of God, you are in trouble. I'm not joking. Say you are in trouble. Don't move. Don't move. That was the only instruction. You want me to help you? Use this useless. Don't move. And yeah, I was on the, you know, in the students, we joined, copper, we put the mattress on the floor. I put the pillow behind my head, watching high school film, and they were dancing and doing all those seductive, whatever. I didn't know when she went to the bedroom, came up. When she came out and I looked at her face, you know, be Eleni. Yeah, you are in trouble. She just came to the bed. She didn't say anything. And she just touched me like this. The moment she touched me like this, I heard the voice of God, don't move. Don't move. Don't move. You wait for my command. Don't move. Don't. I'm telling you, this God there. This is Peter's story. You understand? You are already sinking now. You are in trouble. Do you notice that when Peter began to sink, Jesus was there? He was there. It wasn't like Jesus slept. He was there. You can sink in God's presence. Oh, ha! You put your eyes looking onto Jesus, the author, because the possibility for distraction is very high. It's not Jesus, it's your focus. We need to address the focus. A lot of people are distracted over nothing. The guy who created Facebook doesn't even stay there. The guy on Instagram is not there. They left you there to destroy your life. The moment I say, don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Wait for my command. Don't move. And the hand was proceeding, moving tenaciously, just moving. She knew I was a Christian. She knew. Because she saw me prophesying in church. But you see, the enemy goes for those with precious souls. And she already told me, our parents, they are chief justices in Nigeria. They'll set me up. Am I the first person that went to NYC and broke up with his fiancée elsewhere? The word will not come there just to tell her, no, I don't. I'm not sure anymore. I'm not sure. Then people will say, man of God, this is not nice. But everybody will move on. After all, it's not like we're even sleeping with each other. So what's there? Everybody, you forgive me, I forgive you. That's what would have happened. The word, everybody would have moved on. It's now. Fast forward to 20-something years. I will now realize the impact of my error. Because now we have to be doing everything to live up to the expectations of this family of chief justices. Oh, God coming to me and say, what are you talking about? No, we are moving to Canada. See, yeah. What's wrong with you? Why are you tripping? They talk to you. They talk to you. But you are sinking. The problem with sinking is that many times when you sink, people around you don't even know. You are, something is happening in your life. You are going down. Everybody thinks you are okay. Oh. You come, old Mike, sing, sing, sing. People are blessed. But spiritually. But it takes a discerning eye and mind to say, this lady is not okay. She's not okay. In between that experience in that room, she stopped. She saw my assistant, she stopped. Then she went to 45. Before she fortified, I was outside. Wore my shoe. This one is not the one to say, you know, I took the shoe, go and I went to wear it on the main road. Who are you? Want to wear shoe in this? Carry the shoe, go to the main road and be wearing. Let people be looking at you like a madman. Want to die? Because why are you should just drag you like you are dead. You are not coming out again. Unfortunately, that was a brother's story. The brother talking to him. I escaped by the whiskers. And don't let me kid you that I wasn't interested. I was. Oh, you see, Pastor Green guy is very strong. I said I was. Kaganiko? Do you understand what I'm saying? You are quiet now. That means I'm eating you people hard. I said, do you understand? That you can be sinking and nobody around you will know. Your passport out of that situation is the cry. Lord! I'm dying, save me. I thought if a brother fornicates or comes, the people say, he's a man, forgive him. What about a woman? I've dealt with such situations where it is the woman in the house, the married woman. So as a Christian, what do? As a brother, you are married, that's your wife. After 3 years, you realize she has a boyfriend. What do? We close our eyes like these things are not there. What, as a pastor, those are the problems we deal with. The kind of counseling that we don't have answers to. Because I'm telling the brother, you need to forgive the lady. And the brother is saying, what do you mean? The brother is asking me, pastor, what do you mean? I say, what I mean is that Jesus... When is the man, they expect you to forgive. They expect you to forgive. When is the brother? No, pastor, no. But he's the one that, when I was preaching on spiritual man, I was shouting, yes, preach it. But now something has happened. Cover your wife with mercy. Say, pastor, do you understand what I'm saying? 3 times. Not once, 3. How many times would I forgive? I say 7 times 7. He said, pastor, don't play with me. I'm not joking, man. You think I'm just coming and I'm playing with you? People's homes are on fire. Because they sit down together means they are together. Huh? Because they sit down together doesn't mean they are together. Say, save me. That's your passport, though. It's not all these tongues you are speaking. And I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you. Why not just accept that you don't have the answer to this question? Just accept that you don't know what to do so that God can intervene. You are still permutating using your wisdom. You get into trouble. Just accept. You don't know. It's okay not to know. But can you please cry out for help? Jesus didn't step in until Peter cried out. Don't play games and say God knows. If I were you, you would cry out. There are pastors that have died, and I have friends that are very dear to me that are very sick because they are pastors. They are very sick. If the pastor dies, how long does it take? How many people can be faithful to stay in the church after the pastor dies? You now ask why your pastors are all relocating abroad. Because they know you people say you are wicked. I'm telling you. So if you hear that Pastor David has a problem today, how many of us can say, our pastor, let's rally around him and help him. And we, in our mind, we won't be judging him and say, Shebi, I told him. This self-righteous spirit is why many were sinking and they couldn't talk. And they died like that. They would rather die than allow you to have the last word over them. We must repent. People sin. They can't even open up. They say, we did it. What did you do? We did it. Did what? Come out and say what you did. They don't use code. What did you do? We did it. We did it. Am I supposed to understand what it is? You know, people are suffering. People are beating their wife. The wife can't talk because she doesn't want to make the husband, you know, disgrace the husband. But they are suffering in that house. Why can't you just cry, Lord, help me? I can't go through this again. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. We all need God's help. Oh. I say we all need God's help. We all need God's help. And the problem is that many of us don't even know it. Don't you know that much of the things that pastors preach about, their family fight, they go through that battle. Our father, Bishop Ereko. Or is it Pastor Adeboye? Who do you want to talk about? Who? Or is it Ayo Babalola? Who do you want to point to? Or is it Young Gicho that had to go to prison for his son's mistake? Who? I was listening to Bishop Ereko's son last night, yesterday, about how he struggled with his health. And he could not say anything because this is a faith family. We believe in faith. He said he had to go through a natural path to get his freedom. That's what this lady does. The natural path told him, first thing first, don't fast. They had 121 days fasting because he said you must not fast. If Bishop Ereko finds you that you didn't fast, you are out of that place immediately. Who are you? I said people should fast. He said, more so my son, you are out. He will throw you out. He went to his father. This is the situation, though. I'm dying. The boy slumped in the bedroom. He will come out and begin to preach. His blood pressure was already over 197. Over 145. It's okay to ask. When you ask people, Brother Pat, how are you? Good morning. How's your family? How's your health? Hope everything is fine. Don't just say, how are you? As if it's a rhetoric or something. Just talk. You are not even waiting for the answer. How are you? You've gone. You didn't even wait for him to say, I'm fine. No, I'm not fine. No. Because your mind is not really there. He said it was a 7-month battle. Diabetes, obesity, hypertension. When I heard this one, I had hope. I had hope for myself. It was already borderline of diabetes, pre-diabetes. While they were doing that one, Bishop Bereko's daughter could not conceive. She had fertility issues. But the father would still come and say, be free in the name of Jesus. After tonight's anointing, you go, you walk into your freedom. People were testifying. His own children were suffering. If anybody wants to kill your pastor, you too, as a good member, say, please, pastor has been here since morning. Come tomorrow. Go home. You know how I felt when my daughter said to me, you are never around. My daughter is just 8. She said, you are never around. She looked at me and said, no, be how you go take go school, they run up and down. My daughter, but she's not bothered. Say you are never around, especially on Sundays. It is what it is. So there are some things you won't hear. But today, this remaining part of this year, we will all open our scars so that we can be healed. Bible says, confess your fault one to another so that you can be healed. We will have service. Everybody will hold mic. I used to beat my wife. From today, they will argue. I stole money. This thing, I won't do it again. By the grace, we'll argue. We'll love ourselves to freedom. put away that critical spirit. It could have been you. That person you are criticizing could have been you. Could have been you. You are not better than anybody. Because God's grace covered you and you are not exposed. You think you are smart. The problem with preaching the Bible, sir, is that we have been asked to preach and speak for a holy God, even though we are not perfect. And then you hold me to the same standards of perfection, only for me to just fall one day. And the people that raised the sword against me was even my own people. People that don't know it beyond the pulpit. Tell your neighbor, we must show our scars to each other. And woe to any man that somebody broke down in front of you. Now rejoice in your heart over that person. Ah, you are not saved. You are not saved. You are not saved. When I went to preach in that particular city, and the Lord said, I should call out those who had done abortions. And I refused. Because I was trying to think like, oh, let me not embarrass anybody, you know. A lady came out from the congregation. I don't know that girl if I see her now. It was in RCF. I came back, I was already a graduate. The lady came out and said, she wants to talk to me. I said, this one, maybe she did abortion. Maybe she's the one God sent me to. I gave her a mic. She said, she just faced the crowd. Say, a few social period, I had an abortion on this campus. I was not myself again. I was damaged inside. Said, I went to a program. There was a program for women. And a woman was preaching. And she gave a word about my situation. She hugged me. And that's how God delivered me from that guilt. She now faced me. Pastor, tell them exactly what God told you. You know one side of me, the comical part, like, if Kukuma just help me call them, you understand? As you don't do the work, just Kukuma finish the work, you understand? But she looked at me and said, tell them. This, now me come preach for now. Say, Pastor, tell them exactly the way God said. I said, okay, if you are there, you've done abortion. 30 to 35 people came out, including a guy. I said, bro, you said do abortion. He said he took his girlfriend there. And as they brought out that fetus, something died inside of him. And that period was December, early December, that every time he hits December of the following year, he enters into a particular mental state. He doesn't recover till February. People will be looking at you, just be behaving like he's not okay. Say, but spirits have been, you know, words have been spoken. Actions have been set in motion. You cannot bind that kind of depression and say, go! It will not listen because certain laws were set in motion. There's nothing you have done today that just like Jesus came for Peter, it will not come for you today. Come on, say amen. I called the brother out and I asked all the brothers in the church of 1,500 people, come and hug this brother. Oof! I've never seen love deliver somebody so easily. And they came and they formed a web around him. Oh, I burst into tears. I couldn't hold it. See, brothers, they were not the ones who took the girl to. All of them were crying with him. I've never seen anything like that in my life, sir. The brothers came out and formed a spider web. He was in the midst of close to 100 brothers. And they formed a web. And they were all weeping. And they were encouraging him. And shaking him. Oh. Healing just started happening naturally. People started getting healed. No prayer. Then God told me, say, tell them to check their bodies. If you are in, just now. Oh. Love is the way to victory. Love is the way to victory. Oh. 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 His own deliverance was even more powerful than the other ladies. I saw the lady, they came out, they were all in tears. I said, oh my God, see what? I would have, you know, this is like several years now. I would have later died as an older man And then God will say, they will say, there I told you to. God is big on instructions. He said, God said, you better be careful. You want to hear God? Because his conversation with you will be based on what he said. So why in a hurry? Cool down. You will hear. You will hear. May you have the grace to obey when he speaks. It's not what I say. I can hear God. Who told you if I can hear God? I can hear God. You will hear. Don't worry. It will soon reach you. The day you see that tall, lanky brother like myself, who refused to lose weight, he's just okay, just fine, handsome, and he's speaking Quincy. And some of you don't think I can speak good English. I went to school. I don't have English notes all my life from primary to secondary. But my English was impeccable. But I didn't put money in my pocket. I've never had one English note. I throw them, I don't need them. If I'm writing, I can. Once there's a mistake, I feel it. It's not flowing. If I speak it, I sense it. No, that's past tense. You correct yourself. Many of those ladies, about 35 of them with Abra, they were set free that day. Then God, you now wait. You think God forgot your disobedience simply because it's now 50 years ago. You think he forgot? He doesn't forget anything. So today is the day of mercy. Hallelujah. It's a day of salvation. You might be here, you are playing guitar, but you took a guest somewhere before. Today is your day of salvation. Today is not for shame. Today is for mercy. Hallelujah. He said, if you bid me to come, I will come. And by this message, the Lord says to you, come. I can't tell you how many lesbians I've prayed for, ministered to. And I realized that they are just regular people who got it twisted. That's all. One lady, she's bisexual. She said to me, the reason why I've chosen to live as a lesbian is because I don't want any man to be saying I slept with her. That's all. That's her reason. That's her reason. I don't want any man to say no. Between us girls, we know ourselves. Say so. No abuse there. He said, but a guy, she will never allow any guy to come and say, add me to the list of people. He said, no. That's why I'm with girls. I still remember her name. This was 18 years ago. Where you are, it's where I want. If you bid me to come, you know I will come. For where you are, is where I want. It's where I want. Listen. This was not actually the direction of the message for today. But I trust the Lord that peradventure there's somebody here, or two people, or three people, who are tired of hiding. And like Peter, you will say to God, save me. So I came for you today. Listen, let me tell you. We all have our faults. We all have our mistakes. But the word of God says, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. I listened as Bishop Oyedepo said to us last week. He said, God is not concerned about your past if you can make the right decision for your future today. That was such a profound statement, that God will not hold you to your past. If you can make a right decision about your future today, you will not hold it. Because today is the day of salvation. Yeah. Then tomorrow is still the day of salvation. As long as you are alive and you can see the sun, then that day is the day of salvation. But if you turn away from his favor and turn away from his hand, and then you like that girl that I spoke to, and she died after I prayed for her. She came to my house. I don't know if somebody's listening to me. She came to my house and was brought by somebody from Ogun State. From Ogun State, she came all the way down. She wanted me to be doing deliverance in my palace. I don't do deliverance in my house. I don't want you to vomit. I can't pack anything. It's a personal thing. It's not spiritual. It's a personal thing. I don't pack vomit. So why should I pack for you? And the devil is very smart. He will make her vomit very well. So next time, you won't try it. So I sat with her. She's a twin and she had lost her twin. People died. She's SS. She has many issues. She couldn't hold a job for 3 months. Very pretty, tall lady. Look at her skin, all completely bleached. Pretty. I don't know who is even as tall. Nobody. She's taller than even taller than Tina. And some of us like them tall. Just there's this gallant. But she was finished. The enemy had messed with her life. She had fallen into the hands of false prophets. She had fallen into the hands of men. She got married, didn't stay in the marriage for 3 months. Her life was completely in shambles. And she was here telling me, on my pillow, I'm tired of life. And I began to share the word of God with her. It's not prayer, it's the word first. Start teaching her, teaching her, teaching her. I taught her for 3 hours. And I prayed with her for 10 minutes. And as she was going, I told her, avoid this, avoid this, avoid this, avoid this, avoid this. She broke every one of the instructions I gave her. Then they rushed her from one hospital, like 8 months later or 9 months. They rushed her into Bagala General Hospital. And on that bed, as she was convulsing, she was going to say, Kopa Subinga, Kopa Subinga, Kopa Subinga, Kopa Subinga. And then they called me, where's my wife? Late in the night, about past 11. She's not a church member. I have to. I beg, let God not say they call me, I no answer. I beg, go. I enter my car. Hospital. Late in the night. You can't call me, it's late. I say, I'm a pastor. I got in there. Pastor, I'm sorry. I know I've offended. I'm not the one that do you. I'm not the one. What's the situation? Say she can't sleep for 3 days. So give me your Holy Spirit. She needs to sleep. Please help her. As I was praying, slept. I said, doctor, observe and take notes. It's not everything that is injection. I was not having the doctor. Say, nurse, see her, she is here. You they give her injection, you know where. See her, and I don't sleep. We thank God, pastor. Now God say, make you come. She had violated every law that I gave her. And now the thing had come back to haunt her. And then as I prayed for her, I was asking the Lord, is there a way of escaping this matter? And the Lord said, don't worry, tell her she's coming home. You know, I don't know. You know, the prophet is mad. I thought what God said was she will get well. But what God said, she's coming home. Don't worry, that she'll be fine. She's coming home. I did. You know, if I had another strong pastor with me, I would have said, pastor, I will tell him in his ear. Then you say, no, pastor, that's not what this girl will die. Nobody, I was alone. People are waiting for man of God. The man of God misunderstood God. I said, she's coming home. Don't worry, she'll be healed. I said, the Lord just told me you'll be fine. Say amen. Thank you, pastor. Pastor, I'm so sorry. I disobeyed everything. I said, don't worry. Let's leave here first. The next day, I had an urgency in my spirit. I was traveling. I was going for a particular meeting somewhere. And I knew I would not be able to come back on time. So I rushed to the hospital. And she was sleeping. And when I saw her, her face had changed. So I sat with her. I didn't wake her up. Maybe she realized somebody was. She opened her. Say, Pastor, you came to check on me. I said, yes. I held her hand again. Say, you are well. God has given us an assurance that you are going home. You know, I was still saying that you are going home. You are going home. It didn't strike me. It didn't strike me. I held her hand and I prayed for her. That was the last time I saw her. I left. Shortly after I left. She died alone. The house she built, nobody in that house now. Business. She died alone. And I remember exactly some of the things I told her. When God is talking to you, he's not advising you. He's telling you what you must do if you want to survive. I've prayed for people that died though. The first ceremony I did when I became a pastor was burial ceremony of a young girl. It wasn't palatable. Because the older brother is of the lady is also a pastor. You tell them that they should move on, that God has taken. If you don't take care of yourself, sir, and you are a pastor, the day, God forbid, you die, the only person your children will be seeing in that casket is their father. Every other person will see pastor. All they see in that casket is a man who never stayed with them, solved everybody's problem, but couldn't fix himself and died. So today is a day of restoration. If you have anything you are hiding, don't go home with it. Come out, let me pray for you. Where you are is where I want. Listen, when you walk out of here today, look at the devil and tell him that was your last card and it's over. There is no shame on God's elect. You are chosen and there's no shame to your name. Listen, I don't know what is it about that woman that was caught in the act of adultery or fornication, but there was something identifying with Jesus did to her. She didn't fall under the anointing, but something happened inside. The day Jesus rose again, she was the one standing there. Peter was not there. Those people who think they are righteous, they will be there. It will be people like you who found mercy, who will be waiting to receive him. And when we get to heaven and we see him, our joy will be full. It will be much because we will remember where he picked us from. And some of us will be righteous even from our mother's womb. But some, serial wickeders. We are very wicked. You now become wickeder. Don't let anybody judge you again. If they ask you, but you are the one, say, I have given it to God. It's not in your hand again. Come on, tell your neighbor, it's not in your hand again. Of a true spiritual father, it's not when everything is okay between two of you. It's when you can come to him, show him your scars, and then instead of telling you to go and sin no more, he will also show you his scars. He will show you. Even Jesus, when he rose again, the first thing he did, see my scars. See my scar, it's me. It's my scar, it's my scar. The scar didn't go away because he resurrected. It's there. You see it. So what are you hiding? Last week I was in Utah and I went to see my father in the Lord. And while I sat in his parlor, and I began to discuss some of my personal issues with him. And as I spoke to him, I started weeping. I need to join me. Then he told me, say, this is my own scar. the one you didn't know. And he showed me. And we wept together again. I could have said, ah, you are not even anointed. Huh? But this is your parlor here, in utter. So, I want somebody who has an idea where I've been, where I am. Not the one that will tell me I don't have faith. Do you understand me, sir? Not the one that will tell me I don't have faith. If I could help myself, will I be here? Then I stood up to go, and I knelt down. I said, Papa, please, pray for me. Say, help him. 5 minutes prayer, help him. When I see him again, I want to see a testimony. And I got up. We could not take a picture again. Because our eyes, both of us. Stop covering up. Open it. Let's see what is there. Don't be telling us everything is fine. When everything is, you are just trying to avoid quarrel. Let there be quarrel. Let's settle it. What are you hiding? Because you don't want to upset your wife. You keep quiet. No. Let's scatter it now. Then we'll even know where everybody is standing. Then we'll settle it. You call me, I'll come and settle it. Don't give people the impression you are perfect and you are struggling, but now you cannot ask for help because people already think you are okay. What are you going through that nobody? Oh, speak up. So we can help, you can be helped. If I can't help you, I'll take you to Pastor Ayo. Don't die in silence. Look at all the time we spent here. But I don't believe it's been a waste. At least for those of you who heard the word. There are many of you, some people that God put in your life, but there was a little communication error and you cut them off. Go and call them. Don't waste. Don't let pride kill you. Don't turn your helper of destiny to your enemy. Go and call them. You know that this matter should not have gone the way, but everybody is forming man of God. Go and call that person. Do you know what it means? Play low. Do you know what it means for me? You know, you can be carrying a scar for years, oh, a scar, and it's not healing. You know what it means for your father to train all his siblings through school. And where he stopped training many of them is still where they are today. But when he died, they were not there. You know what it means? Now you are looking for peace because you can see that God has now blessed his children. You want peace. You want to go and beg the man that you abandoned. I'm looking at you. And I know what God's word says is that I should forgive. But the soil is still fresh. It's like yesterday. So you don't come to God behaving like you are macho. Come and tell him, I don't want to forgive these people. Tell him. So that he can help you. Don't behave like you are a man of God. But you know that this thing can be held against you. It's a struggle. If you have ever been pained, if you have ever been hurt, if family members, the uncles you trusted, the aunts you trusted, if they've ever hurt you in a very deep way, it's not easy to go back. As long as they just forgive. Yeah, you forgive now, but you have to, first of all, admit that you don't even have what it takes to forgive. Some of you are fighting useless battles with your friends. Go and call them. I know they fight again, though. I know they fight, though. I had an issue with a particular minister in this state. Minister of the gospel. And I called my friend and I said that this thing happened though. I leave it in your hand. My friend didn't do anything about it. Now the matter 3 years later escalated. And I told you about this thing. My friend went on the scene and said, I'm sorry. It didn't occur to me it was this serious then. I will do something. I said everything is settled now. He said no. Said maybe I was not in the right mental frame when you spoke to me. I didn't know it was I said, it's okay. This last few days, if I tell you how many men of God have called themselves to apologize to each other, you'll be shocked. Big men, though. Sit down there and be fighting what battle that is not your own. Because your father-in-law is not greeting this one, you go and be saying, carry load that is not your own, carry it on your head. Because when they settle, you will not be there. Don't fight with your mother. Don't fight with your father. That's a battle you can't win. You can't win it. There's something in the hand. It's called the blessing. Whether she's born again or not. Don't try it. There are some useless things people are doing now because of exposure and science. Don't try it. Let your mother be old school. You be new school. But don't cross that boundary. You cross it, you are not coming back. Even if another person's mother prays for you, nothing will happen. Because you have already despised the one that God gave to you. I believe you all know Jerieze. You know he's the son of a prostitute. You know Jerieze, Pastor Jerieze, that has this early morning prayer meeting. What God cannot do. Though we find out there are some things God will not do, but for the sake of the confession, let's leave it. But he was born by a prostitute that the mother tried to abort. Look at the destiny that came out from the womb of a prostitute. A man of God that will raise his prayer altar in the morning, more than 100,000 people all over the world. What do you know about your destiny? What do you know? What do you know? It's just this one you know that you are talking. What do you know about tomorrow? If the mother has succeeded, even if she later became a big man of woman of God, that matter will not be settled. Because God already saw that that boy was going to be a great man of God. There's not. You are blessed. You are blessed. And you will never be at this level again. As you forgive and reach out in love, times of refreshing will come. Don't forget, you have received mercy. So don't hold anybody to it anymore. Let it go. You are blessed.